doing our best to follow the Holy Spirit. And it's my understanding that we have a guest singer this morning. Do we have a guest singer? What would his name be? I heard a little birdie say Richard. Richard, would you come bless us this morning? Hallelujah.
Amen. Let everybody say hallelujah. Come on, say hallelujah. How many of y'all know that Jesus is the reason for the season? Oh, come on, look at somebody and tell them, say, Jesus is the reason. Yes, for the season. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. My sister, she just sang a beautiful song, and I love that song. But if you don't mind, I'm going to try to sing it a little different way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, within the body, everybody has their own giftings and their own talents. Amen. And I'm going to try to sing this song. Hallelujah. Because God's been good to me. Hallelujah. You know, I shouldn't even be here today. Should have been gone. Shouldn't even be on this earth today. But like I said, Jesus is the reason for the season. Years ago, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, Jesus was my reason for the season. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm just so glad about it.
Now, see, I got family here that doesn't know the story.
Hallelujah.
Now, the reason he's saying the reason he shouldn't be here, this man's already died once.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
His wife, in the name of Jesus, raised him from the dead.
Yes.
Yes. He's got a relationship with the Lord that most people don't know much about. Just thought you'd like to know that.
Yes. Jesus is the reason for the season. Oh, I tell you, I could tell you some stories. And one day I'll get that opportunity to do it. Hallelujah. But I tell you, God has, he's just been so good to us. Hallelujah. I'm just so glad about it. Thank you, Lord. I just praise you. Pray for me. As y'all know, over 2,000 years ago, our Father sent the best gift. He sent Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm just so glad about it. And there's a song that goes something like this. Silent night, holy night, all it's calm, and oh, it's bright round the young virgin with mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mine, sleep in a heavenly peace, sleep in a heavenly peace. Silent night, it was a holy night. Shepherds quake in his sight. Heavenly hosts are singing hallelujah. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent, silent night. Oh, holy night. The Son of God loves. He loves, loves that pure light. Radiant beams was flowing from his face. Dawns of redeeming grace. Jesus is Lord. Jesus, he is Lord. Silent night. I want you to just think about it. It was a holy night. The Son of God loves. He loves that pure light. Radiant beams flowing from his face, and dawns of redeeming grace. Jesus, think about it. Jesus. Now, you know, we get busy this time of year. We're running here and we're running there. But Jesus, you're going here and you're going there. You're buying this and you're buying that. But Jesus, it's all about Jesus. It's not about gifts. It's not about promotions on your job. It's not about nice homes. It's about Jesus. Let everybody say Jesus. Jesus. Whoa, good God from glory. Jesus. Somebody on this side said Jesus. Say Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on now. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Silent night, holy night. Jesus died. He died for you and me. He died on Calvary just to set us free. And now I'm convinced that is Lord, Lord of all. Jesus is Lord. Jesus, he is Lord. Let everybody say hallelujah. Jesus is the reason for the season. Hallelujah. And as my brother was saying this morning, that if you keep praying, Brother, I just want to say that you encouraged me. And I know you encouraged many folks. You might not have thought it was a lot, but it was a lot. Because I am convinced that if we keep on praying, if we keep on fasting, keep on confessing, keep on believing, God will break every yoke, every stronghold that you might be facing. And that's what I'm believing God for in my life. Everything that looks good is not always good. But if you just keep on doing the message, I declare Jesus will be Lord of your life. And he will be the reason for the season. Let everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Nathan, come on up here. I want to swap microphones with you. You're going to do more of the preaching, I think, than I am. We've got this service and next Sunday before the first of the year as far as services. I want to read something to you. Go ahead and open up to Mark chapter 4 for just a moment. Now, for many of you, the Lord has said several times that this was the year of selling out to him. And this coming year is the year of power. And this morning while I was in prayer, I'm going, well, Lord, we've all been doing our, well, I hate to say our best. We've been doing more to sell out to him. And I said, none of us really know what to expect. You said it, next year is the year of power. And I didn't put these together. I just praying and listening and These verses came to me, and I'm calling this, I guess, the gospel of the kingdom. That was the first phrase that came to my mind. So I did a word search real quick, you know, in my little iPad, and the gospel of the kingdom. And it came up with three right away here. So turn to Matthew 4, look at verse 23, the gospel of the kingdom. I want you to see how he put this together. For next year being the year of power. I know I'm supposed to. I mean, the traditional thing to do, it's Christmas, the service right before Christmas. We're supposed to have mangers and all of that. And of course, thank God we have a Christmas tree. But thank God the Savior was born. You know, people get all weird about dates. You know, he probably wasn't born on December 25th and all of that. I said, look, I'm not celebrating the date. I am celebrating the event. What matters is I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Savior was born. And I don't care if we celebrate it on Juneteenth. The point of it is we're going to celebrate the birth of my Savior. Because it is the pivotal event in all of history. The fact that God was born as a man in a manger, grew up. To take my sins. Say, I deserve hell. Gary himself. I'm telling you right now. Without him, I deserve hell. No one had to convince me and Sue we were sinners. We were good at it. We liked it. We'd practiced it. You would hardly believe the people we were before Jesus. You would hardly believe it. I could tell you stories. But see, if I told you stories, then Sue would get to tell stories. We've told a lot of them, you know. We knew we were on our way to hell. Didn't know how to get off of that path. Thank God for that little guy, that Michael Muccio guy. The one that brought the gospel. Because I'd already made up my mind. I'd had it with church. I wasn't going back to church. God looked at my heart and he knew I wasn't going back too. So, see, you know, I feel sorry for the world that doesn't know God's alive. That he's real. That he is love. So here I made up this decision. I've had it with church. I'm not going there anymore. God says, well, I'm just not willing to do without Gary. So if he's not going to go to church to hear the gospel, I'm going to send somebody into the business world to preach the gospel. And he sent Michael to come get me. It's a little guy, you know. I won't tell that whole story. But he came and got me. See, I've not been raised from the dead like Richard. I don't have that experience. But see, what's so real in me, and it's been real all these years, it's like I feel like I was held right out over the fires of hell. I mean, it's so real to me. I knew I was going there, and there was no escape. I absolutely deserved it, and so does the whole world. And then I found out there's a way. That somebody loves me so much that he came and took the punishment I deserved. And I don't have to go to hell even though I deserve hell. And all I have to do is believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, which we're going to get to that verse in a minute. Believe the gospel. Repent. Receive him into my heart. And even though I deserve hell, I never have to go there. Tell me who this Savior is. I will give him all of my life. I will serve him all my days. And he has been our joy and our thrill and our... He is... When you really meet Jesus, when you really meet him, I know I'm preaching to the choir here. I know you guys know this. But the world doesn't know it. How are we going to convince the Muslim, the Hindu, the Buddhist? I've spent enough years in the prisons. I know debating the gospel will not work. They know their Quran. We know our Bibles. You just get into a big argument. Nothing really happens. You get more entrenched, you know. But what we've got to do is present truth to them. Truth, demonstrated truth. And that's exactly how Jesus did it. So here in Matthew 4, verse 23... This isn't going to last very long. And Jesus went about all Galilee. Now notice, there's three things here. Teaching in their synagogues. Preaching, that's number two. Preaching, but what did he preach? The gospel of the kingdom. And then, after teaching and after preaching, then what? Healing. All manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. All right, come on down to, you're in Matthew, go to Matthew 9. I want you to see this was his common pattern. Matthew 9, verse 35. So this is in the same book, Matthew, so this is not the same event. You can see this is his common pattern. Look at, it's almost identical. Look at chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Here it is again, if you underline, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. All right? Now come on down to Matthew 24, right near the end of the book. Jesus' practice was to go teach it. What's the difference between teaching and preaching? Teaching is laying out the truth. Preaching is got exhorting with it, saying, you can have this now. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is available. Preaching exhorts you to act on what you're just taught. But then the healing, that's the demonstrating. And that's been the missing ingredient in our generation. The Muslim, if as long as it's just a word debate and no demonstration of power, they don't think you've got any more than they have. In fact, they think they have the truth and you don't. But I'm telling you right now, that same Muslim that'll argue his Quran with you, if he's got a blind daughter, and he's already taken that daughter and had everybody pray and nothing happened. But you come in the name of Jesus. And you teach. And you preach. And when you lay your hands on that daughter, God restores her sight. He is going to want to know about your Jesus. Amen. So we saw how Jesus did it. Teaching and preaching and then healing. Now notice what he says, Matthew 24:14. And this, what? Gospel of the kingdom. Not just the gospel, but the gospel of the kingdom. Shall be preached in all the world, now notice, for a witness. If you underline, please underline, for a witness unto all nations. That means the unbelievers, not just in churches. That means the Muslim, the Hindu, the Buddhist, the atheist, the agnostic, everywhere. And then shall the end come. So I was asking the Lord, Lord, what do you mean when you say the year of power? And suddenly this verse came up. Go to Acts 4. Acts 4, verse 33. Now notice, Jesus said, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. Remember that phrase, for a witness. What does he mean by that? Acts 4, 33. And with great what? This is the year of what? And with great power gave the prayer center. Fair enough. With, if not us, who? I'm not saying we're apostles. Do you know that word means messenger? Every one of you is a messenger. You've been taught the message. Can I say it that way? You've been taught it for years, and now he is making you a messenger. But he's not sending you out in word only. See, look, with great power gave the apostles what? Witness. Witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Demonstration of the gospel of the kingdom is what brings the witness that Jesus is alive and that Jesus is Lord to the whole world. This is the year of power. He's sending us as a witness to demonstrate with great power to a lost and dying world. And revival is at the door. Do you hear me? All right. Well, what's the word to us? And I heard this last verse. Go to Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. I said, Lord, what's our part? Mark 1, we're going to read verses 14 and 15. It said, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching, here he is again, the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, and this is what he's saying to us, the time is fulfilled. You could say the time is now. And the kingdom of God is at hand. And when he says, repent ye, this is not the old Southern Baptist repent ye, although if you need to repent, repent. What he's saying to the prayer center is, whatever you have thought in the past, whatever your thinking has been that has held you back, whatever it has been that's disqualified you as being ready, repent. Because I say, the time is now, and the kingdom is available. And it's time for you to believe the gospel. Believe it yourself. Then teach it, preach it, and demonstrate it. Amen? This is the year of power. Hallelujah. Now in the early service, come here, Nathan. Look at this innocent looking. Obviously, he was raised on Jesus' knee. Never did anything wrong, never lied to mama, nothing. It's almost, again, a sinless life, you would think, by looking. But he gave some testimony this morning that you just got to tell it again. It encouraged me. I told him after the service, there was one line in there. No person could have these evil thoughts I have and be a Christian. And I said, thank God for saying that verse. I appreciate you saying that verse. Thank you for saying that line, because I don't know. I can only speak for males. I cannot speak for females. I don't know a male who hasn't had that thought, including yours truly. Amen? Yeah.
Good morning, everyone. Okay, so I was raised in a Christian home, a Pentecostal home. And my dad was a really, really, really good man. He loved God. And he did his best to raise me, you know, fearfully, because he was scared that I would always partake of the world, I guess. So he tried to do his best to keep everything from me. And the church that I grew up in was a Pentecostal type church, and it was really, really big on holiness. You know, everything is of the devil, everything is sin. I used to have little action figures growing up, like, you know, Wolverine, the X-Men, and my dad's like, that's a demon. And so we grew up without a TV. We couldn't watch TV because I was a devil, you know, so we didn't have a TV growing up. So all of that was really, 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 like, forced down my throat. And so it made me not want to have anything to do with God. I didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. I was like, if this is your Jesus, I don't want him. I don't want to have anything to do with him. And so I had said this morning that, can I go down here? I'd said this morning that by the age of 8, I was addicted to pornography. And I don't know why, I don't know how, I don't know what happened, but something opened that door in my life and is something that I was exposed to. So while all this was going on, by the time that I was 13, I started to embrace drugs and alcohol and to smoke pot and that kind of thing. Because I was trying to run as far away from Jesus as I could, because I didn't want to have anything to do with him because of this picture that was painted of who God is. And I started to go deep down the rabbit trail of sin and embracing it, because I wanted to sin, because everything was sin, and you can't do this. So I was like, but that's what I want to do, because I was a sinner, right? And you know, when you're young, they ask you to come up and say the sinner's prayer at church, and I'd probably said it 50 billion times, but I never meant it. So I never got saved. Because you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, right? So if I just confess with my mouth but don't believe it here, will it work? No. But they thought I was saved. Anyways, so I started to go deep down the rabbit trail of sin and embracing lasciviousness. And, you know, I was smoking pot all the time and trying to get as high as I could. And that opened the door for other things, alcohol and crack, cocaine. So by the time I hit high school, I was addicted to all this stuff. I was always on drugs. I was always either high or I was always drunk. And I started to smoke crack around that time. And that's rock, if anyone knows what that is. You cook up cocaine on a spoon with a lighter and you cook it. And anyways, there's a couple people that are laughing that know you were a crackhead too. I'm just kidding. And I can remember, if you know anything about that, it's super addicting. And when you're done, you think that you drop crack rocks on the floor, and you actually get on your knees and you look for them because you're fiending so bad. Spent lots of time like that. And so I didn't have a job. I was young, so I started to break into houses to keep this addiction up, because I had to have money to buy the cocaine. And I was 16, and we broke into this house, and we got arrested for burglary of habitation, which is a Class C felony. But in the state of Texas, you're not considered an adult until you're 17. So I was still a juvenile. So fortunate for me, I didn't go to prison. And everyone else that I got arrested with did. They just put me on probation for like a year, and I had to do drug testing and all that. But it was around that time that I remember I was in my room, and I had just bought a bag of cocaine, a 20, and I was snorting bumps from a pen top, trying to get as high as I could, you know, snorting the white powder. And at that moment, I was thinking of God. I couldn't stop thinking of God for some reason. And I could feel the power of God all of a sudden starting to hit me. So I don't know if someone was praying for me or if it was something that had always been there that was coming forward. I don't know. But all I know is that I knew that it was God, and I knew that it was the power of God. So I started to cry out to him and say, God, I need you. I need this. I need to get saved. I want you. And while I was doing cocaine at that moment, I felt the power of God on the inside of me, like, boom, and I knew that I was saved. But I was doing cocaine. It was funny, yeah. There wasn't a preacher in the room. It's just, and I believe that if you train up a child in the way they will go, they will never depart from it, even if you do it the wrong way, because the word was always before me. And my dad tried his best, but I love you, Dad. He's going to listen to this. And I got saved. And I remember after I got saved, though, I had been addicted to pornography for years, since I was 8. So by this time, my brain was so perverse that I couldn't think pure thoughts, no matter what I was doing. All the time, I had this impure thought in my brain. And I had gotten saved, so I was like, something's wrong with me. You can't be saved and have these thoughts. There's something wrong with me. But I didn't know how to change it because this had been ever since I was a young child. So what do you do? It's all that you know. How do you change something that you don't know how to fix? And it was around that time that Pastor Allen came to our church down there, and he gave me Pastor Dave's book, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. And he also gave us a bunch of tape series, PC, Aggressive Weapon of God, and Unmasking Satan's Tactics. And I remember that reading what Dave said about praying in tongues, how it is an on-purpose way that you can get to know God and that God can change you. And something in my spirit said, that is true. I believe that. I didn't know why, but I knew that that would work. So I started to pray in tongues a whole lot. And he used to always say that praying in tongues will take you out of everything that Jesus set you free from and bring you into everything that he said that you are. And it is a sovereign, on-purpose way that we can make that happen in our lives if we do it. So I started to pray in tongues a lot, but I still had all these crazy thoughts. And so at that point, I was like, I don't even know if I could be saved and have these thoughts. There's something wrong with me. And I was like, God, there's something wrong with me. This needs to change. But I didn't know how to change it because it always was. But I knew that if I kept praying in tongues, I knew that it was an on-purpose way that I could get to know God and God can change me if I would pray in tongues. So I would be tormented with these thoughts while I was praying like that. This is never going to change. This is never going to change. It's always going to be like this. But I had this hope on the inside that said, if you don't stop praying, this will change. And I would not stop praying, no matter how tormented I was. I said, wake up. I'd get up in the morning and something on the inside would say, wake up. Go pray. It's working. Didn't feel like it was working. Something on the inside said, wake up. Go pray. It's working. So I would listen and I'd continually pray and pray and pray. And I remember the day because it was always like this. I had always been like this. It's how I was. I was marked that I was destined to be this way the rest of my life. But lucky for us, there's an on-purpose way we can change those things, right? That you don't have to be the same way. That the way things were can change. It doesn't matter if you were raised that way or how it happened. It can change with the help of God. And I remember the day that it was like it had always been this way. And I never knew the innocence of life because I was always thinking perverted thoughts. I didn't know what it was like to be innocent because I was always in impurity, even while I was saved. So it was like it stole the joy out of life. But I never stopped praying. And I remember the day that it was like I stepped over and my thoughts cleared up. And I wasn't thinking impure thoughts anymore. And it was like I was tasting life for the first time. Like this, I didn't know that it could be like this. Life could actually be like this, where I'm not always tormented because I have these thoughts. But that would not have happened if I did not continue praying. Because I was saying this morning that it says in Romans 8 that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ set us free from the law of sin and death. But what if you don't know that? What if you got free, but well, how do I change what was? But then he goes on to say that the Holy Spirit will make intercession for us according to the plan of God and pray for our infirmities, right? So that means that that's an on-purpose way to change the same way the law of the Spirit of life in Christ set you free. And it's just as sovereign. That if I pray in tongues, it's just as sovereign as when the law of the Spirit of life in Christ set me free for him to change me more into that freedom. And it's on purpose that it doesn't matter how hopeless it seems or what we're going through, that if we continually pray, that it is a sovereign, on-purpose way that things are going to change if we do not quit. They have to. It's impossible for them not to. The power of praying in tongues. And I remember when I stepped in, it was like life for the first time, and I was like, and I said this morning, that doesn't mean that I still don't have thoughts. That means I take them captive now. Because just because you have birds flying over your head, it doesn't mean you have to let them nest there. And it starts to work with your nature and your conscience and your thoughts. What do? Accuse or excuse, right? So that means every perverted thought now is accused, and I can mortify it in the moment by the Spirit, because it's through the Spirit that you mortify, little less. But God empowered that Spirit through praying in tongues. And I talked about a lot of other things. Do you want me to talk about all the other stuff to you? Okay, just keep going. And I remember this morning I was saying that I remember when I was 13, that I had went somewhere with a group of friends, and I don't remember what happened or how it went down, but I do remember that what had ended up happening was that I ended up in the middle of everyone, and they were bullying me, throwing a football at my head, surrounded by people, and they're just chunking it, like, goosh, hitting my head, and that did something to me, to where it made me want to kill people. I was so angry because of that, and I'm serious. And I think that's what probably pushed me to join a gang. But I remember always having that feeling of intimidation and fear and afraid because of that. It marked me. It marked my character. It marked who I was. And for the rest of my life, I would be destined to fail to that unless I change it. And praying in tongues is an on-purpose way that we could change those things. And I remember the day that changed, that I kept praying, that I knew no matter how bad I felt or what it was, that if I kept praying, those things would change. And I remember when that fell off because I never stopped praying and I wasn't afraid anymore. It was like the first time in my life that I could face a situation and not be afraid or intimidated. And I was saying that I'm not afraid to preach. I never feel qualified, but I'm not afraid to stand up here and speak. The intimidation is gone. But that happened because I prayed in tongues. Because just as sovereign as the law of the Spirit of life in Christ set us free from the law of sin and death, it sovereignly provided a way for us to get to know that. That if He makes intercession for us according to the will of God, that this path is sovereign if you walk it. That means that it's impossible for it not to work, even though it doesn't seem like it. You're praying in tongues and things start changing, but you don't know. And it's like, well, praying in tongues does. But I'm telling you, it is impossible for it not to work if you don't quit. And it'll overtake you. And Christ in you will be strengthened. Christ in you will grow. Christ in you will overtake you. And the first time I heard Dave say that years ago, that the pathway to the cross or the miracle is as sovereign as the cross itself, I thought that was blasphemy. I was like, no, what? That can't be. But if you read Romans 8 in context, he tells you how you got free. Then he tells you how the Holy Spirit will help pray for your infirmities to take you more into that freedom. And then nothing can separate you from the love of God. He says neither height nor depth nor things created nor anything you're going through nor things to come nor angels cannot separate you from the love of God if you're letting the Holy Spirit pray the perfect plan of God in your life. Because if you're not, you could be separated from the love of God like that. Not saved, but you know what I mean. How are you going to change if you don't know how? What's going to change you? I didn't know how to change these things, but God knew. And if He was praying for me according to that perfect will, He was working on the part of me that needed to change and needed to die. And it works. It works. It works. That if we continue, no matter what anyone in this building is going through, that if we continually pray in tongues, that it is inevitable things are going to change. I don't care how deep of a hole that you're in. It doesn't matter what it was. Because I didn't think I was saved during a lot of this stuff. That these thoughts, you can't have impure thoughts. Like I'd open my Bible to read it and all I could see was a pornographic video going on in my brain. That doesn't happen anymore. That changed. But I'm standing up here saying I have pure thoughts, that I'm walking in purity now and holiness through Christ in me, that can be anyone if they let this process happen. If they directly choose to spend time praying in tongues, because it is an on-purpose way for you to grow in God, get to know Him, and change what has always been. And when we're raised a certain way or you're brought up a certain way or things happen in your life, you don't know how to change them. What's going to change those things? If we continue in prayer, they have to change. It's impossible for them not to. And there's so many things in my life that I've seen this work on to where I'm convinced that it does not fail. It cannot fail. That it is sovereign. That if you yield over to it and do it, it has to work. It's impossible for it not to. Of course, we all know that in order for things to change, you're always going to do one of two things. You're either going to stop praying or you're going to what? Change. So as long as you keep praying and don't stop, you're going to change. And it doesn't matter if it's lust or whatever, sickness. If you're sick, you don't know, well, Jesus paid for my sickness, but I can't get that to work for me. Well, if you pray in tongues, He's working on that to help you believe it so that you can believe it, right? Because it says that he bore our sickness and carried our pain. Surely, surely with the finality, he bore our sickness. Surely. That is a sovereign statement. Surely, I paid for your sickness. How can I get to know that? Well, he maketh intercession for me according to the will of God with mysteries, right? What mysteries? Christ in me, the hope of glory. And that's what the Holy Spirit's praying through you whenever you yield to that. And it is impossible for it not to work. That I've been delivered from those impure thoughts. That I gave a testimony this morning how I would get this cough every year for like the last 10 years of, I don't know if it was pneumonia or what, but I would always be spitting out lots of green stuff and coughing for like 2 or 3 weeks. And it's just, I'm like, and it happened since I was like 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. I'm talking, it would always happen. But I knew that if I kept praying and if I kept confessing the word and filling myself with the word, that surely he bore my sickness and carried my pains, that that would change. And it's been 3 or 4 years now that I have not had that happen. That changed. It doesn't matter what it is. It can change. And next year is the year of power, right? But we can't stop praying. That I know, and I said this morning that last 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was driving, me and my wife were driving, and I said, if there's going to be one thing that ever like is hindering my walk with God, it's going to be road rage. And it was like 3 weeks ago, and we were driving, and I was in this lane. It was like the merge lane. This one's cutting off, and there's a guy in this lane. There's traffic behind him, and there's no one behind me. So I flip my blinker on, right, and I'm getting ready to merge. This guy takes off. I have room. I'm getting over, you know. I was like, this guy's letting me in. He's so nice. And I get to where I'm almost completely in, and the guy behind me just decided to speed up at that moment and hit the gas to where I had to completely swerve the other way and jerk into traffic. And you know what I mean? And he just took off. Oh, that flipped my button. That flipped my button. I followed him for like the next 10, 15 minutes just holding down my horn. I promise. I did not let up. It was like, and while I was doing that, I was shouting at him saying, I believe you're saved. I want you to be in heaven, but that was wrong. And finally, my wife touched my knee and she's like, what are you doing? And I'm going to call that what it is. That is sin, right? Is that walking like Christ? No. Okay, yes. Yeah. And so, okay, the first time I went on a longer fast, this was a couple years ago. Let me paint a better picture of who I am. I was like 2 or 3 weeks into a fast, and I knew that the glory was on me and that I was anointed and that I was going to pray for you and Jesus was going to walk in and touch you. And I was just so close with him. But I was in traffic. And I was driving this way. There's a truck right here, and I'm right here. And, you know, I'm just doing my thing, going the speed limit. And this guy decides to just swerve into my lane to where I have to slam on my brakes for him not to hit me. And as soon as he got in front of me, he hits the gas and takes off as fast as he can. Oh, that flipped my button. I followed him down to the light, and I whipped my knife out. And I was like, ah! And I was yelling at him, hoping that he would get off the car so we could, like, you know, because I used to be a gangster. Like, I'll strap, man. And my flesh was like, I was spiritual. Those things can change. We don't have to react like that. That we could be Christ, right? We could walk, not Christ, but we could walk like Christ, right? And usually those are things that you've grown up always doing, that if you put enough pressure on you, that you're going to snap and react that way because it's always how you react, right? This is how your parents react, or this is because this happened. So you're going to inevitably usually react like that. That can change. That we could be like Christ. And I could just let them pass and smile and say, I love you. Right, Dave? I don't carry a knife anymore. I was like, man, I don't want to kill anyone. You're crazy when you're fasting. I mean, anyways. Blame it on that. But you can ask my wife now, even though that one did happen like 3 weeks ago, I'm getting better, and I'm not reacting like that. You can ask her, because it used to happen more often than not. You know, I can't find parking. Oh. Ah. And then the day's ruined, right? maybe. Those things can change, and they will have to change if we keep praying. That we cannot stay the same and continue in prayer, that you are going to become more like Christ. That prayer works, and it's a sovereign way to make that happen. That if we don't stop praying, those things have to change. The same way that I couldn't think pure thoughts, now I can think pure thoughts. The same way that I road rage sometimes, I can walk in love and peace in those situations. And you could fill in the blank with anything. It doesn't matter what it is, that the praying in tongues has not lost its power. Sometimes I know we think that it has because it gets so mundane. And you're just always praying and you never feel anything. At least most of the time I don't. But we're being edified, right? That we're being built above on our most holy faith, right? So above what? A sensual walk. What sensual walk? The sensual walk that would make me pull a knife on someone. Those are senses, right? It works. And I've seen the fruit in my life, and there's still things in my life that need change. And I know that if I don't stop praying, those things will change. And if any of us in here, no matter what we're going through, if we do not stop praying, if we don't stop praying, those things will change. It's impossible for them not to. And I think that's it, right?
Did he do good or what? See, that was important. That was important. He could tell other things that's happened over these 10 years that I've heard him tell about when they start laying hands on people and start seeing the power of God. See, it's not just a change in you. There's a purpose for that. God's transforming us into that image. It's really what he's already made us, but it's bringing it from the inside to the outside, where your soul starts being conquered. You know, really, your soul is the promised land. What I mean by that the new nature intends to conquer your soul. That means your emotions, the thought processes, the reasonings, where we think like him. It's called the mind of Christ. And it's more than just knowledge, it's emotions, it's everything that God is, see. And eventually he conquers, in the process of conquering you, he conquers those around you. And he starts conquering disease and all the works of the enemy. Bruce, I got to ask you a question. Would it be possible for you to play that song that Sue asked you about? This is put you on the spot day. Okay, would you kind of get set up to do that? And Sue, would you come and kind of tell what happened and your testimony and all right? It's really bright up here. I think you might enjoy it better down there. It's whatever you want to do.
I would like to hear the music. You play the music through, and I want to ask, and the reason I'm asking for a reason. Does anybody here know the words to Blood Bought Church from years ago? Years ago. Anybody? Oh. Okay. Well, the reason that I'm asking is because I don't sing. I sing at home a lot. See, and the Lord loves my singing, but when I pray, a lot of times when I pray for the people of the prayer center, the Lord gives me things to speak over them, an individual. See, it's been about a month ago. I was so tired, and I got in bed. And the Holy Ghost started that voice of his I had heard this song maybe two or three times in my entire life. It had been maybe, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. I have no idea. I didn't know I knew this song, and I didn't. And he started singing it to me. And I knew that he wanted me to sing it for you. for the people of the prayer center. It's a declaration of his plan and his purpose for this church at this time, that this be foremost in their thinking, in their hearts. The words that were anointed by him originally for this music. You know how he works. You know how the Holy Spirit does that stuff, you guys. So, but anyway, he started singing it to me. And I got so excited because after a few seconds, I knew it was him doing that again. And my, has anybody ever danced in bed? Because you get excited because of what the Holy Spirit's showing you. Did anybody relate? My feet were moving and I couldn't go to sleep. And I was just so excited. And it just, all during the night I'd come to, you know, out of sleep. I was so tired. Song just going over and over and over during the day. And I would sing the song like he told me out loud during the day, day after day after day, in the house, in the places that I went. Of course, I'd do it quieter at some places when there were people around. But it was continually there. As I did that, then he'd give me his word, his declaration, these things that he's spoken to us all during the conference, the prophecies, the words from God, especially these last few months. So anyway, that's why I'm trying to explain this to you, and I hope you understand. But I'll give you the words. You can sing it in your mind if you want to as he plays. Maybe Stacy could help. But it was, they shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for joy, they shall cry aloud and be free, they shall glorify the name of the Lord throughout the church that we be. Lift up your hearts, O Zion of the King, let the earth break forth with his praise. Let the nations rejoice from the islands of the sea, where the blood bought the church, the redeemed. And we are in that army of the Lord, keeping watch till it's done. And we are going for, there is nothing that can stop his mighty moving force with a shout. Sword. Every stronghold bondage must fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free. For our deliverance has come by the power of the Son. We're the blood bought, the church, the redeemed. Let the earth be silent, the wind cease to blow. Every created being hope. There's a new song inside, a new melody. It's the blood bought, the church, the redeemed. And we are in that army of the Lord. We've been washed in his blood, and we are going forth. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force with a shout of praise, a two-edged sword. Every stronghold of bondage must fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free. For our deliverance has come by the power of the Son. We're the blood bought, the church, the redeemed. But that's the picture. Please remember those words. That's the picture we're to have in the forefront of our thinking as we go into this new year, the year of power. Just as God has spoken, that's how it will be. He is serious about us having that mindset of victory and seeing ourselves united and bonded together with Him. A one heart and one mind, a body undivided, the same purpose. It's so important. If unbelievers, the world, people get united in a vision, they accomplish things. And God, that's what God said about the Tower of Babel. Now that the mind, the people are united, nothing shall be withheld from them that is in their heart to do. And that was when they were building a tower to the heavens, opposing God. See, how much more can we as the body of Christ, with the power that He's given us of the Holy Spirit working through us, working in our midst, working around us as we go to different places, as we speak to people, as we pray for people, whether it's our neighbors or in the grocery store, at work, the prayers that we say for people, for their healing, for their families, for there's so many needs. Everywhere you go, people need stuff. So, united in Him, nothing shall be impossible for us. Okay? Okay, that's all I wanted to say. I'm so...
They shall lift up their voices, they shall sing for joy. They shall cry aloud and they shall glorify the name of the Lord. It's but not the church, the redeemed. Oh, pick up your heart, O Lion of the Lord. Let the earth ring forth with His praise. All the children rejoice from the island of the sea. It's the blood bought, the church, the redeemed. And we are in the army of the Lord. We've been washed in blood, and we are going forth. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. With a shout of praise and a two-edged sword, every bondhold, every stronghold of bondage shall fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free.
Praise God.
Okay, now that you guys have the words down pat, as you go around through the day, just sing it at the top of your lungs, no matter where you are in your car. Sing it out over the city of Tulsa. You know, just sing it till that is so much a part of your thinking that there's no room for anything else. Okay? Later. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Is this fun or what? I'll be honest with you, I think this service is a little bit prophetic. Seriously. Because, see, there's the mind wants to be in control, have everything planned out, have everything perfect and in order. See, once that happens, Lord, then I'll obey you. Well, I have not found that to be the case. It's usually he speaks and you obey, whether you think you're ready or not. You know, you normally don't feel qualified. You know, he says, well, I want you to sing it. Well, I don't sing. Well, sing it anyway. You know, dance in bed. What? What? Hallelujah. So I think, get ready. This is going to be quite the year. And you may be surprised what he asked you to do at Walmart. Are we surrendered to him or not? We sold out or not? I'm going to give a quick, strange altar call. And I'm not going to have you come to the altar. Except one, that's the altar of your heart. That last thing where he says, repent and believe the gospel. We've got several levels of that. First off, now I'm not looking at anybody, I'm purposely looking at, but I'm looking at the camera, I guess. Listen, the time for riding the fence is over. Now, if you had one foot in the world, if you've had both, well, first off, if you have both feet in the world and you're not saved, the time for that is over. We're coming into the last of the last days. Make up your mind. I'm here to proclaim to you, and we are here to proclaim, God is real. Jesus is alive. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. The price for your freedom has already been paid. If you go to hell, it's your own fault for rejecting God the Son. You're not going to hell for your sins, really, because he already paid for that. You go to hell for rejecting Jesus as your Savior. So here's the first level, and you don't need to come to the altar. I really could. There's nothing in us that cares about anything for show. What matters to us is fruit that is gathered into heaven. We want your heart. Now listen. Search on the inside of you. The gospel comes with great assurance. Don't tell me you don't know if you're saved. If you don't know, you're not. You hear me? That the time for that wavering and wondering, I'm not saying the devil never throws doubt, but the time for that, well, I'll get saved someday, today's your day. Now, in your heart, the Bible says real clear, it's real simple, believe the gospel. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that God has raised him from the dead, if you believe that, you're halfway there. And confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? It means, Lord, from this day forward, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, you'll be saved. Let me lead you in that prayer. Let's all say it. It won't hurt you to say it again. We're not going to have them come. I want them to come to him in their heart. Amen? Just say with me, Father, I believe with all of my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. Father, I confess with my mouth, from this day forward, Jesus is my Lord. Lord, come into my heart. Help me receive your love. Wash me whiter than snow. Wash my sins away. And make me a new person in you. I thank you for it now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That's the first level. Now, the second level is backsliders. And that's where you've known him, and maybe you've been, there's been times in your life when you've been real serious with God, and then there's been times where you backslide, and then it's been kind of a in-and-out situation where the time for those days is over. The time for one foot in God and one foot in the world, that's over. We're coming into the last of the last days. What's coming on the world is going to be so severe. It says, if possible, even the very elect could be deceived. You do not want to be walking out there with one foot in the world. Okay? So here's the next prayer. Lord, your word says, say it, it won't, just, let's all say it, it won't hurt us. We've all backslidden some, come on. Father, you said in your word that if I would just come and confess my sin, you would abundantly forgive the backslider. Father, I confess right now. I've been too friendly with the world. Your word says that if I'm a friend of the world, I could become your enemy. Father, this day I repent. I'm tired of being friends with the world. I want both of my feet solidly in your kingdom. Father, forgive me. Receive me unto yourself. I will backslide no more. And I'll serve you with all of my heart. Lord, from this day forward, order my steps again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the third one is for the prayer center. And this is for those that have been sold out pretty much, including, well, yours truly. The time for waffling about this message, hearing about it, understanding it even, playing with it, those times are over. It's time to jump in with both feet. All or nothing. Sink or swim. Live or die. Let's sell out. So how about this prayer? Father, forgive me for considering lightly the value of praying in other tongues and all of the rest of this message. Forgive me for playing with it, treating it slightly when you intended for it to be my lifeline. Father, for my part, I'm diving in. Help me now. Give you more of myself by utilizing the tools that you have given me. Yes, sir. Father, from this day forward, in a new way, in a fresh way, I abandon myself on the arms of your Spirit. Thank you for long suffering and loving me and never giving up on me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 We had church today. Hallelujah. That was fun. I enjoyed that. He was saying, I don't know what to do. I was going, I don't either. I mean, I think it's going to be like that a lot as we follow him. Who knows how these services are going to transpire to come in the days to come. Well, it's right at the dismissal time here. If you did come for prayer, if you specifically would like prayer with the laying on of hands, if you'll come after I dismiss you, we will pray. We've been seeing astounding results to prayer. And we're about to see a lot more. This is the year of selling out. You got 1 week.
what is it, a week and a half? Then it's the year of power. Amen. This was a good day. This was a good service. I think this is a life-changing service. I know I'm more than encouraged. I'm changed. I really am. Don't you appreciate everybody who participated? Richard and Stacy, Bruce. You could write over that man's name, faith, or write over him faithfulness, you know, faithful. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for what's happened here today. Father, thank you for this transition time. Father, we're excited about this coming year. We're excited to see what man hasn't seen in about 2,000 years. Father, we're thanking you for it. Thank you for loving us, never giving up on us. We love you so much, Father. Father, thank you for the birth of Jesus. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you, Father. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says, amen. You are dismissed. If you came for prayer, now would be the time.